Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message. Our goal in this series has really been to help you figure out, man, what can we do from a spiritual standpoint to have victory, right, in the battlefield of the mind, right? We've seen so much, I think, really over the last few years, particularly the last, say, 6 months to a year, discussions, right, about mental health, about what it means to be mentally stable. And we've seen people take actions outside of a place of what we feel like is mental instability. And so, man, this series State of Mind came forth. We were praying about, Lord, man, what is it that we're supposed to speak to your people? And he began to kind of lay out just this idea of really being sound. Really being sound of mind and being in a place where our state of mind, where we know what it is, and that this, our state of mind is good. That we, man, can be in a place in the presence where of our mind where we feel like we're okay, where we feel like we're really okay. Because you can have conversations with people and you can feel like they tell you they're okay, but they're really not. They seem like everything is going well. But then you recognize, man, just the condition of their heart is something completely different. It seems like there's just turmoil. There's circumstances that are just messing with them and bringing them to a different place of mind. And so, man, we begin to teach on this series State of Mind of, man, we really want you to be free in your mind. We really want you to understand who you are in your mind. And we talked about the fact that we are made up of three different parts, that we live in this body, but that we are a spirit that has a soul, right? And those three parts help us to understand God, but also to help us to really understand what our state of mind is and what we can do to really begin to affect our own state of mind, what it is that we can do from a spiritual perspective to help ourselves. One of the big points that we made along the way is that we said that our hearts and minds, our spirits and our souls, man, they're supposed to work together, right? That, man, the soulish, the intellectual, the reasoning part of me, my emotions, my will should really be impacted by the spirit, that part of me that connects with God, should be having an impact on that reasoning part of me. That, man, when I'm making decisions, life decisions, when I'm going forth in life, that, man, those things are working together. That I'm not just coming at it from a reasoning standpoint, but I'm allowing the spirit to have its place in my life. And we said that what this requires of us is a willingness to allow our hearts to play that role, to allow our spirits to really play that role in what's going on in our mind. All of us know somebody that we know that just seems just a little bit off mentally. You all know at least one person, right? They might be in this room right now. You know just at least one person that's just like, man, are they all there? Is it all together? We really want to, man, to, from a serious perspective as well, to make sure that, man, we, our quality of mind, our state of mind, is in a good place. And so, man, that brings us to our story of our friend Thomas, right? Thomas, also known as Didymus, right? He's one of the 12. He's one of Jesus's disciples. He gets to hang out with Jesus all the time. He's seen him do all these amazing miracles to feed people with, you know, 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and all the stuff we like to talk about. He's seen him open blind eyes and raise people from the dead. And yet there's a point after Jesus dies and he's resurrected, and that's what we see in the story. And Jesus reveals himself to his disciples. And Thomas, who had seen Jesus all this miraculous stuff, seen him do all this amazing stuff, is at a point where he simply just does not believe God. Doesn't believe that, man, that Christ is living. Even though the people that he's hung out with for the last 3 years and they've done all this amazing stuff and walked on water and done all this cool stuff and got tons of fish out the sea, man, we've seen Jesus. Really? You sure about that? He's doubting. Right, we call him Doubting Thomas in the Bible. The actual name Thomas and Didymus both have the same meaning. It means twin. It means twin, right? Thomas is an Aramaic name, and Didymus is a Greek name. They both mean twin. Means basically the meaning is that Thomas is double-minded. And that's what doubt is. Doubt is when we have a double mind. We have really two minds that are working together. So he's a twin. That's what his name really means. And I feel bad. I used to remember growing up, and people would say, man, Thomas is a doubter. And I used to feel bad for Thomas, just a little bit. I used to almost be mad, like, man, how can you doubt Jesus? Man, you've been with this guy, you've hung out with him, you know exactly who he is. How can you doubt him? But when you come to recognize the condition of Thomas's mind, when you really understand what his state of mind is, then you recognize that, man, something was going on in the background. Something was happening that brought Thomas to this place where he is, man, he has to have this interaction, this fully immersed interaction with Christ in order to actually believe. And that's where a lot of us are. A lot of us come to the place where we're at the end of the road of ourselves, where we've gone through all this stuff. Man, we've been done all these things. Man, God has shown us his blessing and his favor on our lives, and yet we still really don't believe him. We still, man, we have to almost, man, you got to poke your finger in Christ in order to really figure out, man, is this really real? And a lot of us are like that. God can do all this crazy stuff. He saved us from miracles and car accidents and all this stuff. And yet we still kind of act and behave as if we don't really trust who he is. Why is that? I believe it's because of doubt. I believe it's because of doubt. Man, we've been talking about the fact that last week we said that we have an enemy that is consistently trying to mess with the peace that's in our mind. He's consistently coming after us with arrows. And I had a bow and arrow out here, and I was kind of mimicking, shooting something. Luckily, I didn't have any actual arrows because I probably would have hurt somebody. But we were kind of mimicking the movement of shooting arrows at us, and that's what the enemy does. He consistently tries to put stuff into our mind to separate us from God, to get us to the place where we don't believe God, where we're in a position where we, almost like Adam and Eve, where they trust something that's different than what they actually know. Right? And doubt actually does that for us. We talked about worry last week, that worry is something that causes us to not believe God. But when we get to that position where we don't believe God, we've actually become enemies of God. We've taken the enemy side. We've become allies with him. And so we talked about worry last week, and we said worry is allowing one's mind to dwell on difficult, troubling, and or harmful things, such as imagining worst-case scenarios. When we worry, we're actually tormenting our own selves with our thoughts. We're tormenting ourselves with our thought, with disturbing thoughts. And worry, we said, is it's an argument from the enemy that says you can handle your situations really on your own or without God's help. When we worry, we're saying, man, I can handle this by myself. I don't need God's help in my situations. And we all know that's a lie. It's a lie from the enemy. It's something that we deal with. But another major arrow that we deal with that, man, consistently comes our way, that the enemy is consistently throwing at us, that he's consistently trying to get us off track with, is doubt. It's doubt. And what is doubt? It's a feeling of uncertainty. It's this lack of conviction. Right, it's a lack of kind of a forthright decision in our mind towards one particular thing. And the word doubt itself actually comes from the Latin word dubium, right? From the Latin word dubium, and it's actually closely related to the word dubious, right? Dubious, which basically means that you're vacillating, you're moving between two different things, two different ways all the time. You're continually undecided between two different things. You're a flip-flopper. Right, you're flip-flopping between two different things all the time. And for a lot of people, that's the position that they find themselves in. Right? We're kind of, man, I believe God today. I don't believe God about this. Man, I believe God about my finances, but I don't believe God about my relationship. I trust God with my career, man, but I don't trust God with how I choose to live every day. And we're in this place where we're consistently flip-flopping. We're consistently in the gray area. We're consistently lukewarm. And I really feel like God wants us to be in a position where we are actually taking a place, a position where we're trusting him all the way. Where we can say, you know what, God, man, I'm with you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not moving. I'm standing firm in this position, and I'm not wavering. That's what we do when we doubt. We begin to waver in our thinking. We waver in our thoughts. And so doubt is an argument from the enemy that says, man, I can't fully trust God or his word because my mind can't fully reason or logically explain how he works, how he does what he does. A lot of us, I mean, we try to do that. We're trying to figure out everything, right? We want to figure out how it works. Anybody, were you one of those kids that kind of cracked open your VCR? I did that one year, and I got spanked for it, right? I kind of was like, I wonder how this works, and kind of took a screwdriver and just started opening stuff up because I wanted to see how it actually worked when I stuck the tape in, right? I wanted to see. I just dated myself, VCR, Lord help me, right? Man, but I cracked it open. I was trying to see, man, how does this actually work? Man, I want to see what this actually does. Man, when we actually do that, though, from a perspective of God, we don't really fully trust how God does what he does or who he is. And so we're always trying to rationalize God. We're always trying to fully reason him out. And if we can't fully reason him out, we have a difficult time connecting with him. If I can't fully rationalize this in my brain, if I can't fully make this fit with all the other stuff I want to think about God, man, I'm not really going to believe him. Because this social thing is happening in the world and it doesn't really fit. Man, I know it really doesn't fit with the scripture, but, you know, I like people, so I want to kind of be on their side. But God is saying something totally different. And because I can't put those two things together, I don't know if I can really trust God. We do that a lot. We're wishy-washy sometimes in how we think. We're always trying to reason God. And we're doubting him. James 1:6-8 says, the one who doubts, the NLT says, with divided loyalty, is like a wave of the sea. You're blown and you're tossed by the wind, right? That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, right? So if you have an expectation from God and something doesn't happen, man, because you're so wishy-washy, you really shouldn't have an expectation of anything from him. But rather, right, the person should expect anything, but man, such a person is double-minded. They're double-minded. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world. And they are unstable in all they do. Right? So if you're somebody that doubts, what's the state of your mind? It's unstable. And unstable people do dangerous things. Unstable people, right, do stuff that we're like, man, they're crazy. Some of us would never go skydiving. Right? Some of us would, right? But some of us see it, and they're like, man, those people aren't stable. Those people, they're crazy, right? You see people, my favorite thing, I love watching the X Games, and they have this one event they have where they're basically on a skateboard, and there's this really, like, big ramp about the size of this building, and they go down, and they just go off into a, like, they just come down the ramp and just jump off. There's, like, it's like a no pit, no anything there. Like, I want some styrofoam. Can I get a couple blankets? Like, I want some stuff. Like, they're just, I'm like, there has to be something chemically wrong in your brain to do that. There has to be something that, like, you have to have either some brain or something's off. But, man, what we're saying here that when you doubt, you're unstable. You're unstable when you doubt. Doubt is what keeps us from allowing our heart to play a role in the decisions of our mind. Doubt is what will keep us between our spirit, will keep us from allowing or really kind of bouncing back and forth between our spirit and our soul, between trusting God and not trusting God. It's when we doubt him. So where does this doubt come from? It doesn't come from God. Doubt doesn't, if you're doubting, right, that doubt doesn't come from the Lord. He's not the source of it. And in actuality, doubt is always in opposition to God's will. So if God is saying one thing and I'm having doubts about it, I'm really kind of in opposition to his will. If his word says one thing and I'm doubting it, I'm actually acting in opposition to what his will is for my life. And so we have to be careful of that, right? We have to be careful that, man, if his word says something and I'm in this place where I'm doubting consistently, that, man, I'm actually maybe be getting out of his will. And God wants us in his perfect will. There's blessings that we find in his will, right? There's joy that we find in his will. There's peace that we find in his will. But if we're doubting and if we're consistently doubting, we actually can find ourselves out of his will. And all it takes really is for the enemy to drop just one little kind of doubt seed into our brains. Where does it come from? It comes from, I don't know, that family member, right, that's been church hurt, right? They've had some hurt going on, and so they're like, man, I can't go to church anymore. I can't connect with God because, they treated me badly. Somebody talked bad about me in the church, and so I can't go back there. And what happens from that is that they begin to say, man, it kind of grows into, man, I can't go to church anymore. And then all of a sudden, it's, man, I don't know if I trust God anymore. And we don't think it's that big of a leap because it comes so subtly, but it happens. It happens when we have a coworker. They have a lifestyle. They believe in a lifestyle that's different than ours. Right, it's something that's counter to the word. And so we begin to question God. Well, if God is really love, then he should love these people even if they're doing this. Right? But that little subtle moment can cause doubt. And that doubt can magnify. That's what the enemy's coming to do. He's trying to magnify this little seed of doubt that he's planted in us. And what do? We have to counter it with the truth. We have to counter that doubt with the truth. What is the truth? It's the word of God. It's the word of God. So when I experience a moment of doubt, when I experience something that's, man, counter to what I know is the truth, I have to counter it with some word. I have to counter it with something that is life-giving. If I find something that, man, is causing death or causing harm in my life, I need to counter it with something that's going to bring joy, that's going to bring peace, that's going to bring love. And we find it in the word. We find that in God's character. And so, man, when we reason, right, we're actually, when we try to reason stuff, when we try to take everything from a logical perspective, what can happen to us is that we're actually pulling ourselves away from God. We're actually pulling ourselves in a direction that may be different than the will of God. But here's what God wants from us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So if doubt leaves us in a double-minded condition, right? And what this word is saying is that double-minded condition comes from when we have doubt. But he's saying, if you trust in me, if you submit to me, I'm going to make your path straight. I'm going to help you find a way to go where you're not feeling kind of crazy. You're not unstable, but you actually have a path that's leading you to something good. He wants us to have a straight path. We have to lean towards the Spirit. We have to lean towards the part of us that connects with God versus the part of us that is just in our brains and where we're thinking everything from our own perspective. Everything from my own mind. I was telling before how there's been some decisions in my life that I've made where I haven't consulted God. I haven't talked to him at all. And because of that, man, I've experienced mistakes in my life. I've experienced stuff that has messed me up, messed up paths in my life or things that I thought I was going to do. And it's because in that moment, I didn't trust God enough. There was just that little bit of doubt. I didn't know if man, God, is this really you? And I allowed that thing to grow to the point where I was rationalizing it so much that I just went completely away from what God's will was. And because of that, man, I reaped that. I reaped horrible decisions and stuff that just affected my life and hurt me incredibly. When had I just taken a moment to say, man, you know what, Lord, I know what this situation looks like. I know it doesn't look so great, but I know it, man, if I can take a moment to just hear your truth, if I had taken just a moment just to hear what he was saying, if I had blocked out the people who were kind of putting other thoughts in my mind and just focused on what he was trying to tell me, I would have experienced his truth. I would have known something that would have broken me free, right, from what I was experiencing and put me in a position where I actually was able to hear what he was saying and gone the wrong way. But because we don't do that, right, we're always in this place where we're kind of, I don't know why, man, I want to believe, but. Man, I want to believe that God can heal my family, but. Man, I want to believe that God can save my son, but. I mean, I want to believe that my finances can be restored, but. That's what doubt is, right? It's not loud, it's not abrasive, it's small, it's subtle. And that's how it affects us, because we're looking for the big thing that's going to throw us off. But a lot of times we get thrown off from the small thing. It's like when you're driving on an icy road, right? And you're holding the wheel. A lot of times it's not a big turn, right, that'll steer you off. Or there's not some massive object in the road. It could be just a small piece of black ice that could just nick you just a little bit, that can send your car spinning. Doubt is the same way. It may not be, man, a big patch of ice in the road. It may not be a big boulder, but it could just be the smallest thing that could just tip you off and throw you out of balance and make you unstable. When we allow doubt in, when we allow those wavering thoughts in, man, it leads us to a place where we don't experience God's peace. We're looking for peace. We're looking for God to give us confidence in our lives. But when we doubt, it throws us off from that peace. I believe that's why in Isaiah 26:3, man, it says, man, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. What is required of us is to be consistently looking for ways to connect with the Lord. Consistent ways, man, to be in his word, consistent ways to be in contact with his spirit. That's what helps us to stay in the place where we are focused, where we don't have doubt, where we're trusting him. And that's why I think that Thomas for us is really a cautionary tale, right? Because what does doubt do? After a while, doubt, when we don't address it, when we don't check it, when we don't put it in its place, it eventually is going to turn into unbelief. If you don't check doubt in your life, you'll find yourself in a place of real unbelief. And this is where Thomas is. This is somebody that rocked with Jesus. He's hanging out with him every day. You've experienced all of who Christ is, right? You know him face to face. You know what he looks like. You kind of, man, you know what his handshake feels like. You know what it feels like to get a hug from Christ. Yet, this is a person that is doubting. That it really is at the point of unbelief with God. And I bet along the way there was a whisper about Christ. Man, are you sure you want to hang out with that guy? Man, is that what you're supposed to be doing? It's the whispers. I know some of us in our lives, we have those people. Everybody has that one person. They're not necessarily a hater in your life, but they're somebody that just whispers stuff that just is kind of small and subtle, right? Are you sure you want that job? Are you sure you're supposed to date him? And it's not some big crazy thing. They're not necessarily hating, but they're just kind of like consistently questioning, consistently trying to rationalize with stuff that you know you heard clearly from God on. And so what do? We start, instead of focusing on what God told me, we kind of turn and look at what's going on over there. We start listening to the whispers. Right, it's like squirrel with the dog, squirrel, right? And we're kind of looking in the other direction. It could be just some small thing, and it's not big, but it just pulls our attention just for a moment. My daughter Christina, she's a lot like me, unfortunately, right? She's a lot like me, right? And I'm a TV lover. I grew up loving watch TV, and my daughter is. She loves TV, right? And so she's in one of those places where if she loves to get her mom's phone and to play this one little like. A letter game where she's learning how to learn letters. And so, but she'll carry the phone and she really doesn't notice that she's about to run into a wall. Right? And then she bumps, right? But she doesn't notice. And so she'll just be walking around just playing the game. Hey, Christina, it's time to go. Hey, it's time to brush your teeth. Okay. Game, bump. Right? That's how we are. It's what doubt does to us. It's just enough of a distraction from what God is actually telling us that we're supposed to be doing. Where it's not that we're putting God away, but it's just enough where we're just not paying enough attention, and bump, we start to turn into unbelief. My encouragement for you today is, man, to make sure that doubt isn't an arrow that can permanently mess with your mind. How do we do that? We have to continue to turn our hearts back to the Word. Turn our hearts back, man, to a life of faith. Turn our hearts back to what the Word encourages us to do. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. What is it that we're supposed to continue to do? Man, we have to continually be hearing the message, whether I'm speaking it to myself, whether I'm coming to a service, whether I'm connecting with his word every day, I'm reading a devotional, I'm playing with the Bible app and letting that crazy voice speak to me on the Bible app. Whatever it is, right, there has to be a consistent point where I'm hearing the message. If I'm going to be confirmed in who I am in God, if I'm going to be in a place where I'm going to be confident in who he is, I have to be consistently hearing the message. There has to be faith continually pouring into my life. That's how we defeat doubt. 2 Peter 1, 12-13 is Peter talking. He says, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have, I think it is right to refresh your memory. We have to refresh our memory about the stuff that God told us, because what the enemy's trying to do is to steal that from you. He's trying to take away from you the stuff that you know that God has already done. He's trying to steal from you the thought of knowing exactly who God is in your life. If he can steal that peace away from you, now he can lead you down the path to unbelief. Versus, man, when he comes and throws that arrow, just that moment of doubt is just that whisper and saying, man, you know what? No. I know exactly what the word says. Man, I know that argument isn't true because I know what the word says. Man, I know that in this moment when I was down and out that the Lord was there for me. And that counters this whisper, this argument that somebody's trying to put into my path. We have to consistently and continually be putting forth the word in front of our eyes so that when those doubtful moments come, man, we can turn to the source. We can turn to truth to counter it. That's what we have to do. We have to get to the point where we're saying, man, my trust is in the Lord and I will do what he says because I know he's proven himself time and time again. What we have to do to maintain a free and peaceful state of mind is to be in a place consistently where we're allowing the word to show us the truth. We have to continue to allow the word to bring us back to center, to bring us back to a place where we know, man, we are right with God. I can't allow doubt about my situations, about my life, to bring me or drag me into a place of unbelief. I have to stay focused on what God told me. He's done some stuff in my life before, and I have to stay there so that I know exactly what he's called me to do. And even though there might be whispers, there might be things that are trying to distract me from what God's told me to do, man, I gotta blow that off. I gotta turn it away because I know what the word says. Faith helps us to alleviate doubt. Our trust in the word helps us to push doubt away. It's our faith, it's our trust in his word, it's us engaging in it that helps us to alleviate when doubt comes. If we're going to have a free state of mind, if our state of mind is going to be free and one that is full of peace, we have to be steadfast in our knowledge of the word. We have to be steadfast of our time that we spend with him. We have to be rooted in what he's called us to do. We have to stay in that place where we are engaging with his word. I want to be doubt-free. I want to be doubt-free, not where I don't ever experience doubt. We're all going to experience doubt. But I want to be at a place in my life where even when those moments of doubt come, I know that I can be free because I know his word. That's where we need to be in the Lord. Bow your heads, let's pray.
Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.